I think the shock now in the West is that the police brutality that we've usually seen towards colored people mm-hmm. is now also towards white people. Because once they dehumanize you, they can brutalize you.
Yeah.
It's not that colonialism has ended. It's just, it's gotten a facelift.
Yeah.
So that it's more sustainable. And once, for example, you see one country trying to nationalize their resources, oh, you know, we need to now...
Time to go and give them democracy.
Give them democracy, yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you find oil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
USA.
America with the fucking hell.
Knock, knock, motherfucker. It's the United States of America, and I hear you guys got oil that isn't under my possession.
There are no heroes. There are no idols. You shouldn't wait for anyone to speak up. It doesn't matter. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about anyone. Don't personalize this issue. It's very dangerous to tie a person to a cause. Mm. What ends up happening? Freediving is like that. Is realizing that you are stronger than you think. You know, you go down underwater. The pressure starts to increase. You want to breathe. You start to get a panic. And then you're like, listen, you're good.
Yeah.
You're fine. If you are going...
As a Moroccan.
If you're going to decide that you are Moroccan, ahlan wa sahlan.
Right.
But if you're going to decide you're the occupation,
yeah,
then you need to let go of your Moroccan tea.
But like ASAP Ferg said, alhamdulillah.
Why do you do that?
Welcome back to the Habibi House podcast, the number one Arab podcast. And we have a very special guest today, all the way from Egypt, Rahma Zain.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Is it Rahma?
Is it Rahma?
Or is it Rama?
Rama Zain.
We have a problem with your Arabic. do you wanna bring up the tamali? Say tamali mai.
Tamali mak.
Oh god.
Okay. Oh my god.
Right. This is why we have a problem.
Tamali mak.
This is our problem.
You are the problem.
Rahma, which means
you are embodying the problem right now.
Anyways, so
Rahma means mercy, huh?
Yes.
Ahlan wa sahlan fik.
No mercy. No mercy for you.
This is not the first time I heard this joke, and I can assume that you know this is not the first time
I know,
I heard
because,
this joke.
Because it's not the first time. You're probably never mind.
Anyways, so
no work to LA and Masr.
Thank you guys. Yes.
When did you get here?
4 days ago.
4 days ago.
Yeah.
And for 4 days, she hasn't had her luggage.
Yeah,
really?
They lost my luggage.
What?
Why?
Yeah.
That sucks.
She's been wearing other people's clothes and stuff.
Well, it's good. This is Arab community. Like, yeah. The first day, my luggage isn't gone. I found every single person in LA who's Egyptian, Moroccan, Palestinian. I have 3 tobes, 4.
Whose shirt is that?
Insane. No, but this one's mine. Thank you, guys.
She posted her story. Please, I have no clue.
I didn't need to. You have the aunties here as well. I didn't know you guys had them here as well.
Oh, of course.
Tante Mona called Tante Suzanne, called Tante Munel. Rahma hina min ghair shunan.
All you have to do is tell Arab.
One, yeah.
Yeah, tell her you like her shirt.
It's yours.
It's yours. Right. Literally.
Yeah, yeah. Literally.
But like, some people will actually accept لما تقولي لهم مقدمة. They'll be like, oh, طب هاتها.
But I'll tell you a funny story about that. And this just goes to show the difference in nuances.
Yeah.
You know how you go into a shop and then you're buying something and the guy's like, you're like, how much is this?
Yeah.
It's like for nothing.
Oh, yeah.
We get that, and then there's the little play that happens. Yeah. Oh, la, how much? Yeah, la, yeah. La, la, for you, for nothing.
You
insist. Rossi,
and then they give you the high price.
And then you, la, but shwaya, عشان برضي. But I watched this happen in front of my eyes. This foreigner walks into a shop. And she's like, how much is this for? And the guy's like, for you, for nothing. And she did. She took the bag and she walked out. He's like, what are you doing?
Gosh.
And she's like, but you said for nothing.
Yeah.
Man. She didn't know the dance.
Yeah. So
and that little small tiny story just showcased most of the misunderstanding and the...
Between American culture with Arab.
Between West...
The West and East.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in Egypt, my mom would make me leave the store so she can negotiate. She's like, you can't speak English around the guy or else he'll
know
double the price.
Yeah, yeah.
I was buying some Egyptian cotton, you know? And the guy, he was like, what's your name? I'm like, Atif. He's like, Atif, that's my name too. And I'm like, is it really? Or are you trying to sell me the shirt? So
no,
we
but
bought
I mean,
the shirt.
This is everywhere. Wherever you go, especially markets and stuff, it's sometimes fun. It's negotiation, you know?
Yeah.
And you get to know the person, and it becomes a little story. It's not just a card machine, and you just pay, and you go, and there's
For
no
sure.
human interaction.
Yeah. Sure.
You end up knowing the guy and his mom and his daughters and where they're going to school and
yeah.
what's happening.
Yeah.
And it is. It's never just like you walk in, buy something, and walk out.
Not so transactional.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not tit for tat. It's
right.
based on human interaction, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And I'd hope it stays like this.
Yeah, inshallah. I actually had this as one of the topics I wanted to cover. Maybe we can come back to it. But yani, so many little nuances you can observe. مثلاً, the way we treat our friends. كمان, yani, you were talking about strangers in the store. There's so many things we can get into. But,
there are so... This is something that we need to remember. And this is why I was just talking to you about this. The whole Arabs in the diaspora and Arabs in the region. There needs to be that kind of... coming back to one another and having that communication.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
all have our different issues and our different misunderstandings.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
and I understand for a lot of Arabs who are in the West, they, and naturally so, you want to fit in, you want
right.
to be a part of things. And I think with everything that's happening, you're realizing that, especially with a lot of your friends, they wanted to remain your friends as long as you're on script,
yeah.
as long as you go off script, start speaking for Palestine, start speaking for unity,
yeah.
start to really think about your roots, what you've had to whitewash, you're no longer sitting on the table.
Right.
And this is why we have an issue with the politicians who've needed to appease the system in order to get to the places that they're in today, so that they're accepted on such a high level. But once they're off script, you're no longer here. You're
right.
no longer with us.
Right.
And I think the shock now in the West is that the police brutality that we've usually seen towards colored people is now also towards white people. And I was speaking to this with someone who's super active with this, Aja Monet. You've met
her.
Yeah. And she pointed this out to me. She was like, the police brutality is no longer the cliche picture of the white policeman, black man,
yeah.
or whichever.
Everybody
policeman.
Gets the police
now
brutality.
Everyone, as long as
equal
and
rights.
It just, and it's dawned, and I think this is what's dawned on them as well, that even us, when we go off script, we're no longer sitting on the table.
Yeah, I mean, to see the way they're treating college students on a college campus is absolutely insane, right? Like, they're literal college students. You would imagine they'd have some sort of care when they deal with them, or freedom. That's like, well, colleges are supposed to be the place you can speak your mind, right?
It's also a business, so they have to appease the donors. And if the donors have a problem with it and say, we're not going to give you any more money, then the school has a problem with it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was at USC this week, and USC like pays the LAPD like $2 million a year or something. And that's why they come. They come and take care of situations.
Mm. Yeah,
of
I was there, and it was just insane.
Where do they get that money from?
They get that from the endowments and the $80,000 tuition.
See the circus that's happening, where like you pay the tuition, and then like
are you controlling your shirt right now?
They use the tuition to arrest you, basically. Yeah.
Get West Bank hoodie.
Oh, shout out West Bank hoodie. And the West Bank in general.
Say
tamalli ma'ak one more time.
Tamalli ma'ak.
It's all
yeah,
you know,
so
connected.
We're activating the inner.
Fish haga kidi kida.
Oh my God.
Let's go.
It's funny that the money that's going to the $2 million for the LAPD is coming out of the students' pockets, and then they're getting beat up by the people that they're paying. It's just like,
and also like
comparable
students,
to taxes too.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it's part of the college experience, you know.
Yeah,
you get arrested and
LAPD.
Beat up.
Yeah. I don't know if it is.
No, I was just going to say this is part of why everyone is so shocked. It's just the double standards, the hypocrisies, all of this kind of blunt lying.
Yeah.
You tell these students, we want you to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
We want sustainability. We want you to be the pioneers of the future.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
You know.
And as soon as you do that, you raise a stick to them.
It's like the valedictorian at USC. The smartest girl in the school has a minor in resistance to genocide.
Is that a minor?
That's her minor.
I wish I knew about that.
Yeah, and now what's happening, you know? Wow. She's resisting. She wasn't even resisting. She didn't do anything. But they canceled because of, you know, their donors.
Well, went to USC. So why do you think that happened?
I think, they were just scared that she was going to say something about Palestine. And she didn't even write her speech yet. So I think
the one where they canceled the whole
They canceled the valedictorian speech, yeah. And then they canceled all the other speeches, and now they canceled the whole graduation ceremony, basically. Wow.
It's a private school, right?
Yeah.
So there's...
This is what's been happening. It's like human rights ends when Arabs are involved.
Yeah, yeah.
This is where they draw the line. Animal rights, human rights, women rights, and because this is what they've done for so long by owning the narrative, they made it seem... like all the issues were collectively all put into that region.
Yeah.
Not to negate that we have our issues.
Mm-hmm.
But these are women rights. This is an international plight.
Yeah.
Human rights, international.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
You cannot concentrate it on one region because once they, you know, dehumanize you, they can brutalize you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is animals. Why when you hear thousands... It's scary, and this is what's really scary for us.
Yeah.
One video, mm-hmm. one of the videos that we are not even seeing daily now. We're seeing hourly.
Yeah.
Of one child asking if they are going to die, that alone should have gotten the world to stand up and not sit back down.
Yeah.
And the fact that that hasn't happened has seriously shocked us Arabs in the because we used to see the movie Lawrence of Arabia. I think I was telling you about it. Mm-hmm. It's like mm-hmm. I was watching Lawrence of Arabia recently.
Mm-hmm. That was a nickname of mine, by the way.
Omar Sharif is in it, right?
Yes, Lawrence and of that's Arabia. Actually why I watched it. I love Omar Sharif. Yeah. But
you know what his real name is? Omar Sharif.
Tell me.
Michel Shalhoub.
Yes. Well done.
Good job
right here.
That's represent. Lovely. You definitely give us all the Shalhoubs
are popping except for you.
Yeah, we're getting
give
there.
Give us the Lawrence of Arabia one.
So you were watching Lawrence of Arabia?
But I'm thinking now you would... I'm not throwing shade. If I wanted to throw shade, I'd be
my middle name is Lawrence, so they call me Lawrence of Arabia.
Say Tamil Mac one more time.
Make fun of it.
Tamil Mac.
Honestly, you know what? You want to be depicted. You want to be depicted.
Keith Halleck.
It's just so cringy when you do that. Like, isn't it cringy? It's like,
Yeah. I want to hear the
Lawrence of Arabia.
I don't know why we're. I love this banter.
No,
continue, guys, please. Like, let's see whose accent is worse than the other.
I think he's the best. I'm second, and he's the worst.
Hell no.
And I think you're better than Talal.
No, Talal is fine.
Talal is fine.
Yeah.
Okay, you were watching the movie.
I was watching the movie.
Ask them to say the cough.
Say cough.
Cough. Golf? Like the letter?
Yes.
Golf?
Golf.
Golf, kef,
golf. That's what we call in Egyptian Alsha. You just Alasht.
Alasht, yani zanakh.
Alsha. Zanakh. But no, Alsha
halwa. Because they're saying cough, they're not saying cough.
Cough.
I don't even think my cough is good.
Remember the whole Gaelic thing?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. We'll save that one. We'll spare her.
I want to hear the rest of the story.
Do you, though?
I do. Do you want to tell it?
I don't know.
You said you got a letter.
Okay, so this guy, I'm actually quite surprised that you want to be depicted as Lawrence of Arabia. No, that's what you said.
He's like the white savior, right?
He's the white.
Yeah.
I mean, they were the last samurai. They were the last of the Mohicans. Mm-hmm. So why not be the last... Arab,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, the Lawrence.
It's insane. So I'm watching this movie and you realize that, and the thing is, I watched it before, long mm-hmm. time ago, yeah? And I had the reaction of laughing.
Yeah.
Of you hear whenever there's like Arabic in the background, you hear them just going lululululul or something. He's the one, it shows them having, and it just goes to, first of all, it's completely wrong. It's written by the guy.
Right.
The other thing is, it just goes to show that they leave their men behind. They're quite brutal. There's this barbarism about them. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I laughed the mm-hmm. first time I watched it a long time ago. Now that I watch it, I realize how dangerous
mm-hmm.
you, and especially when you're in the region, I'm we're all predominantly Arab.
Right. Yeah.
So you don't realize that there is an issue.
Yeah.
Until you live abroad, you live in the West, you right. see how people then start to see you yeah. and you see that it's because they've been fed this narrative mm-hmm. where we're just like sort of the other. We're not human even.
Yeah.
And if we're left on our own accord, we're going to dismantle everything, which isn't the case. Like everything that we are seeing now, and I think historians are trying to play down the how especially Arabia is looking mm-hmm. Now post all of this Western meddling, but it is, you know, you cannot deny how
yeah, the effect.
This exactly, especially because these different power plays were playing in these countries like a sort of tug of war towards mm-hmm. resources, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
The Brits wanted control from the Ottomans, from the Russians, from the and where are they doing this? And yeah. once, for example, you see one country trying to nationalize their resources, oh, you know, we need to now
time to go and give them democracy.
Yeah. You know,
yeah. And they've been splitting the Arabs up, yeah, like when you find oil. USA.
America with the fucking
helicopters. But, I mean, the West, you know, they split up the whole Middle East and put all these Arabs in different, you know, different countries and fund one side and the other side.
And the other side.
And then they say, oh, you guys always kill each other. It's like, well, right. if America wasn't there,
maybe
then...
if you weren't meddling in our affairs so heavily on purpose, wanting to divide us.
Well, they also don't want anyone to be strong unless you're, like...
With them.
And with them, exactly.
Once you start to just be like... Let go,
exactly.
you know.
Yeah.
Let go a little bit. It's like, oh, he's gonna be a threat to us. And then you see two colonizers put their heads together, and this is why what you're seeing now. It's not that colonialism has ended. It's just it's gotten a facelift, so that it's more sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's imperialism.
And it is, and it's really everywhere. And this is why when you talk about freeing Palestine, there's so much more meaning to it. And then going back to the nuances and the different culture and something that maybe the West doesn't realize
mm-hmm.
is that even if you're, and this is what happened with a lot of the countries, even when they were doing well, even when the idea of being colonized, the idea of not feeling free, and I don't know, I was just saying, I don't know the English word for it, ihana. You know, sometimes killing me, I'd rather you kill me than disrespect me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this affects us. Even if I'm living great and I'm fine, I don't want to feel like I'm being occupied.
Yeah.
And this is something that I, for example, experienced when I was in Egypt. You mm-hmm. go, I know I told you I don't want to personalize anything, but I love free diving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And I'd
like
go free diving.
In the water?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I don't free dive in the sand.
No, like yeah. like off, like base jumping off a cliff.
No, I have a fear of heights a little bit.
No. Oh. Yeah, it's so, a very Egyptian, Egyptian hobby, I think, to have like al bahr.
But
we have a beautiful sea. The best sea is in Egypt.
Yeah.
The Red Sea, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding? Best diving.
Best beach.
If you're diving down, isn't that still heights?
Yeah, but upside down.
And there's water also.
Wait, are
me
you not?
And you
you're
are
not
have a talk.
You're not actually diving. You're just going. You're like scuba diving.
Bro, there's scuba diving, but free diving is more of a sport.
You
so
don't have any gear
no.
on you.
No, so free diving is no tank.
That's
it's
badass.
More sports.
Yeah.
Diving is with a tank.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's badass.
But you'd see that you know you'd have a center open,
mm-hmm.
and it's run by Westerners,
mm-hmm.
and they I never forget something, and it hurt me so much, and it didn't hurt me just because of the incident, just because you know when something happens and you keep replaying it in your head, you're like, I wish I had said this, I should have said this, you know. I was my instructor.
Mm-hmm.
Was this Canadian guy.
Okay.
And he goes, and there was an incident where there was a bus crash,
okay
on the road.
Okay.
So I got my friend texted me, oh, there was a bus crash. I see the text and I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. There was a bus crash on the way here. And he goes, oh, what nationalities? I was like, oh, they were mostly Egyptian. He's like, oh, that's fine then.
What?
Mm.
And I just, first of all, this
in
is my
Egypt?
Teacher. This is in Egypt. This is my teacher. We're about to get in the water. My life in this is in this
right.
Muppet's hand. And I froze.
What
and in your head, especially, you know, Arabs, you are the teacher, so you are, you know,
respect.
I respect you, no matter. So it just kind of like, and then I started.
I think the question of what nationality were, like the fact
yeah,
that
the
even
fact
asked
he
that
checked even.
Was but crazy.
Before I give thoughts and prayers,
yeah.
Are they well, Arabs?
Are they Arabs?
Let me skin color.
Because if they Arabs, that's not a problem, you know?
What the hell? This is a real story.
This is a real story, insane. But this is a story out, and you
this
see it like they treat the locals in a way, you know, they come in and they're like, we know better.
Right.
And you see them when they're even talking about like sustainability or mm-hmm. in their, it's like you don't know how to run yourself.
Right.
So we're going to help mm-hmm. you. That same thing.
Yeah.
And it just, it I started, and I think that incident sort of got me to just open my eyes a little bit more.
Yeah.
That.
You did a deep dive, right?
Astaghfirullah.
I'll give him that one. That was, that
honestly, stop, guys.
Give you one clap.
Yeah, one solo.
Give him something.
Let's talk about free diving real quick, though. Have you done a deep dive into the like all the like crazy accidents that have happened?
What
have
you
seen
mean?
Like people getting stuck underwater and they're like their scuba gear or they just like it?
Yeah, but I mean that's gonna happen anyway.
Do you do those like
actually,
free diving and inside caves and stuff?
No, you need a specific license to that. I don't. I have a normal.
So if you see a cave,
like,
you're like,
dive.
Can't do it.
Where do you dive?
I need a license.
I the best dives are in Egypt, hands down.
No, but which
hands down.
Where?
You have amazing shark dives if you want, and we have it all. We have the corals. I don't know how to say corals. I say corals very bad.
Corals.
Say coral.
What's
it in?
Coral.
Touche.
Yeah.
What's it? How do you say coral?
Coral.
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 It's like in the eye. Coral.
Coral.
Yeah, there you go.
Coral. So you have that. You have the caves. You have the shipwrecks. You have it all. And even when you, like talking about colonialism, you know, you go to Thistlegorm and you see how they were just, it's madness. It's everywhere. And you still see it. And I think, okay, when we look at history, because we tend to be selfish, you see this, your lifespan, that is the history.
Yeah.
And when you study history, you don't think of like, from this to 79, it was 10 years in between, so you assume that they were stuck together, your mind just does that.
Right.
But what you don't see is that history and the downfall of things and the uprisings, they take time.
Yeah.
So, especially with everything that's happening, us freeing our own selves, it's going to take time, and we need to have that patience. When you look at the history and when you look at how things take so much time, you realize that this is the beginning of the end, for example. Mm. But the end is inevitable,
right.
But it's going to take
time.
And this is why you just can't stop that wheel.
Right.
So yeah, it's interesting.
No, 100%. 100%.
Are you guys texting each other?
No. Should we?
Maya.
I don't know. You're on your phone.
I was trying to pull something up, but real quick before I pull it up. Question. I see that the beaches in Masr. Dahab or Sahid?
I prefer Dahab.
Yeah?
Because it's a free diving spot.
Okay.
I love it. But you also have amazing in the
Dahab.
North coast.
What about Skenderia? That's for the tourists.
Skenderia is the best.
Oh, is it?
Alexandria is the best.
Yeah?
Skenderia.
Yeah, it's the best. I love it. Especially
that,
in winter.
Isn't that named after a colonizer?
Oh, well, whatever.
Speaking of colonialism.
Everything is. You know, it.
Why do we call it that still?
Look. Honestly, pick your battles. Yani, one thing at a time. We're still starting to free ourselves. Remember when we were just saying about that guy and the coach and me doing that deep dive into things? People are realizing, people are waking up. And then there's going to be that ripple effect,
right.
You know?
Right.
And we need to prioritize. And this is why we need to unify. Especially when in these kinds of revolutions or these movements, you're going to have all kinds of bedfellows, you know? And this is why you can't just be like, oh, you didn't talk about this, you didn't do this, you did this. Instead, just focus on the main goal and really connect together to do that. Don't pinpoint what someone is not doing. Pinpoint what you want to do, what you can sacrifice, what is the ultimate goal here? It's freedom and freedom for all.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of this.
Mm-hmm.
So the worst thing to do is to then just, you know, start nitpicking. Who's
point
not
fingers
doing?
On
point
each other.
No. Accept the fact.
Together.
Accept the fact that we're all walking on this road together.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So how do we fix the perception?
What perception?
I think it starts with fixing it within ourselves. Because yeah, to your actually. Point, like we start pointing at each other mm-hmm. because we've become, I think I saw you post something about this at some point, but we become indoctrinated by this like colonial mindset. So yes. we internalize this idea that, oh, the West and knowledge is all, you know, the scholarship and this mm-hmm. advancement is out there. And it first starts with reeling that back in within ourselves and realizing our greatness, our power, how cool our culture is and embracing it, right?
Yeah.
And not pointing, then that means you don't point at the next guy because, you know, you're not faulting them since it's in you, and then maybe that's can
and especially because we are still needing to bridge the gap between especially people in the diaspora and people of the region itself yeah. so mm. that we are united, so that we also understand each other's backgrounds, each other's everything, and, yeah. and really what be kind doing? Towards one another, because I don't know, I really love us, you know?
Yeah,
I love when a teta comes up to me in a shop and whatever, recognizes that we're doing what we're doing, and she starts, you know, patting my head yeah. and being like, bada'ilik, and just walks yeah. off. And,
yeah.
and we have like a conversation for 2 hours. She doesn't know my name. I don't know her name. Right. I love this. Like, I remember this because one time I was traveling and I posted about this. I had this one incident and I forgot all my English. I was in a panic attack and I'm like crying and then speaking in Arabic, and this poor man isn't able to help me because I just forgot everything. And it was an Algerian family mm-hmm. that picked up. They come in, they tell him, thank you, we'll handle it from there. And they just fed me, first thing, of course, Kenny.
Yeah.
And then they just helped me yeah. out, and it was just so beautiful, you
Amazing.
Know? It was, it's, yeah. this is us, and yeah. we yeah. need to remember that this is us. And look at the, I'm sorry, but look at the Western scenario of people living in these, like, solitudes. It is annoying when you have your Aunt Susan, like, right here being like, I saw Rahma today in the protest, and she did not do her hair. And, like, this, مشعارف, it does get annoying yeah. when they're, like, really
Super
in your
catty.
Life.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'd rather that than me being my lonesome self in, like, this.
True.
So we do have our issues.
It's like the cost you have to yeah. pay for
the
this
cost,
warmth
you're not
going to
get, but you get the warmth and closeness. Yeah. You get that yeah. I have an issue, I expect you to help.
Right.
Like, I expect you to pick me up to bring me to the podcast and since you are Arab
and
man.
We were right on time. mm-hmm. We were right on time.
Yes, that was also Arab of me. I'm so sorry for being late. That was more whatever.
Stick
anyway,
to
I don't
want to.
I don't want to stick to the bad stereotypes. But
right.
Okay, let's talk. So you want to talk perception? When people say Egypt, immediately they think about the pyramids, right?
Like, I have a story about that.
So let's. I want you to tell the people amazing things about Egypt. The music.
I heard it was
the,
in Africa.
Hollywood.
It is in Africa.
Yeah, do you consider yourself, I mean, is it?
I consider myself African. I yeah. consider myself Arab.
Is it Afro-Arab? Is that a
I
thing?
I don't know.
Both.
What I don't, like,
all these
I,
new terms
I think
stuff.
I think labels, I know I have that North. On my social media, but yeah. I think labels tend to constrict you and people expect certain things,
yeah.
you know?
Mm.
And this shouldn't be the case. It's okay to be everything and its opposite. And realizing that makes you more malleable and also not egotistical. If I am this, you're not anything.
Yeah.
You are nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My very Egyptian mother reminds me that I am nothing
yeah,
every
yeah.
day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's good because when you're nothing, you're everything. When you're, it's just, it's a beautiful thing.
True.
And I'm so sorry, but yeah, an African mom, a cliche African mom is exactly like my mom, mm, you know? And mm. like your cliche, bah, you know, one of my friend's mom, she's Nigerian,
Adam. Right?
So her mom, yeah, and her mom shouts at me
the like, same way
like
she shouts
if
at
I
her
was
daughter.
In a Western country, she'd be like, oh, darling, would you, like, I don't know, but it's just that we didn't pick up the dishes or we didn't do this. Mm. And these, it is beautiful. It can be overbearing for
right.
sure, you know, your privacy or whatever, but it's nice. About Egypt, I'll tell you
yeah.
Tell you a story.
Tell us the story about in Egypt.
So I
the pyramids, right?
Yes, we have pyramids.
Okay.
They're beautiful, you know, and they're not just in Cairo, by the way. People think they're just in Cairo. You have them in Minya, you have, and I love that Egypt has it all. I love my country.
The original nose job was the Sphinx, right?
Yeah, well.
That's why.
I want my country to be, you know, I want Egypt to be what it's hopefully going to be. But like, given everything, I understand that it's just, I can't get into that.
Yeah, yeah, that's the, but yeah, the good, you have a good story? But
I do have a story. Yeah. So I was actually covering, I used to be a field reporter. I was covering the Mitt Romney and Obama elections. And that's also something that was just such, talk about deep dive. That was a deep dive.
Mitt Romney.
Yes, it was a deep dive.
You were covering it here?
Yes.
Okay.
So I was traveling states. And then I remember I walked into a shop in New Mexico.
Okay.
And this woman sees me and she's like, oh, where are you from? And I'm like, I'm from Egypt. And I expected her to go, you know, your beautiful cliches, which I, the beautiful sea, the pyramids, the tourism, the temples, the. And she goes, oh, you poor thing, to be all the way out here. We know what they do to y'all. I don't even want to know your story. And I'm just like,
that was a very good Southern accent.
Oh, thank you. People make fun of it. Like, I wanted to actually add it in.
No, that's great.
But, like, I look at her, and here I am about to, you know, school her and tell her what's up. Yeah. How could you say something like that that's so untrue, that's a stereotype? And she goes, you know what? You take these earrings for free. And I'm just like, they also lock us up in the pyramids. I wanted the matching necklace. So I got a free earrings and a necklace. But now with everything that's going on, I realize that maybe I should have, you know, given my 2 cents.
Yeah. Two cents or $200. Because technically, didn't you do what the...
Eh?
Didn't you do technically what the guy, Alu Maddam, and he took it?
No. That's different. Completely
this is
different.
Yeah, she feels
she
bad
sounded
for
like
her.
She genuinely wanted to give you that free stuff.
Yeah, she did. She thought I was a thing. Victim.
Right, right.
She thought I was like she also romanticized. She made this idea in her head that I rode camels to come to New Mexico. She made the scenario. She's like bored at home.
Yeah.
So she decided this Egyptian who walked into the store is gonna be this, you know.
She's gonna save her.
Yeah, she's gonna save me with these earrings. And she's probably gone home and said this wild story about
this poor bless her heart.
Bless her heart, you know? It's just insane.
Poor thing.
Yeah. We're not poor things. No, we're not. Really not poor things.
Well, she probably never met an Arab before.
Exactly. So that, and the thing is, that's another thing. We always wanted to appease them, to show them who we are. Listen to this. And that's another thing that was shocking. A lot of us assumed, it is the case, but a lot of us assumed that they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know us. Mm. And once they know, you know, things are going to change.
Right.
But then they know.
The disappointment.
And the shock that you have when you realize that they are very much aware, especially the media personalities.
Oh, yeah.
But they are purposely not doing something about it. And you get, and it's blood boiling.
Yeah.
When you watch these American politicians and they're smirking and they're spending more time schooling journalists on how many questions they ought to have than realizing, Habibi, we're talking about the massacre of children.
Yeah.
I want to say a bad word. Fahim, like it's mind blowing.
Yeah. So much deflecting and gaslighting.
That's even worse when they know that, like, oh, we know that all these stereotypes aren't true, but we're gonna keep pushing them. You know,
I think they know our strength, they know our power in our culture,
and that's what we say.
They always try to cripple our societies.
Mm-hmm. Look, at the end of the day, it's also good to be balanced. It's good to be realistic. Yeah. We need to work on things as well.
Right.
We really need to work on. We need to do a lot of work, and it's back to what you said in the sense of it is empowering yourself also. Mm. It is understanding yourself, and then it's free diving. Free diving is like that. Is realizing that you are stronger than you think. You know, you go down underwater, the pressure starts to increase. You want to breathe. You start to get a panic, and then you're like, listen. You're good.
Yeah.
You're fine. Mm-hmm. And then you make it down to the bottom
That's
and you're
how
like
stubborn we are as Arabs.
I'm so strong. And it's not the stubbornness actually. It's the letting go. Mm. And it's the letting go of ego. It's the letting go of you being in control. And maybe I think you need
I need some free diving.
Yeah.
I need to skydive.
Well, he needs a couple of things.
You got a lot of
issues. You need Arabic lessons for one. Yeah,
your southern accent.
Yo.
I like it. I think it's good.
That was real good.
Yeah, I like accents.
You should have been I mean, Egypt is like the Hollywood of the Middle East. You should have been an actress.
Thoughts?
Can we ask about, what
well, you... Well, no, I mean, I know it's probably hard for Arab men to even go into that kind of field, entertainment. Arab women probably have it even worse.
I mean the soap operas and all that go pretty hard.
I don't know. I think it's
a lot of good female actresses.
I have a lot of amazing female actresses. You have Tora Ahmed, you have Salma Boudif, you have Huda Mufti, you have really great girls.
So it's very accepted over there to like...
For sure. And these are people who've been outspoken and they're from the day one, you know?
Who's the one we met at the Enigma, or we saw at the Enigma event, Enigma magazine?
You have Munazaki. Munazaki, she's the queen. Yeah. She's lovely, and she's also, you feel like she's gone through that, you know, self-work. And I saw an interview of hers, and she's just absolutely, we have beautiful people, and these actresses are absolutely beautiful, and they've spoken up, and they have backbone, and they're here and there. We have so much, you know, and this is what I mean, you know, look at what you have and empower your own.
Right.
And instead of waiting for this American, I don't know.
For Lawrence.
Savior.
Instead of looking for Lawrence, go to Munazaki, you know, that's fine. Yeah. You know, like.
Or Ahmed Zaki.
But also to deviate from that a little bit, you do realize with something like this that there are no heroes. There are no idols. You shouldn't wait for anyone to speak up. It doesn't matter. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about anyone. Don't personalize this issue. The Palestinian plight is not your plight. It's ours. Mm. It's everyone's. Mm. It's just freedom for all. And realizing that, why? Because it is very dangerous to tie a person to a cause. Mm. What ends up happening? This person gets discredited. Or you no longer like this person, or this person's political views don't align with yours, or you feel like this person is not doing enough.
Yeah,
you start to tie it into the cause and how you feel about it, and this is why this shouldn't be the case.
Yeah,
or I shouldn't say it shouldn't. I'm not in a place to say what ought to and ought to not happen. But
it's
what
a negative thing to happen.
But it is a negative thing to make it about you, to make it about where. You know, like, and to make it about also idolizing?
Idolizing
people and putting them on a pedestal. There are no more pedestals, you know? Khalas, 100%. We're all in this together. It's a grassroots movement because we've seen it with a lot of movements before, with like revolutions. When you pinpoint people and then you pump them up, and then they get discredited, the people who were following them for the cause, they start to, you know, disperse.
Yeah. Yeah.
So instead,
the discrediting usually happens from the...
Yeah.
And there are people who are silent on social media and doing so much more than the people who are vocal.
Yeah.
You don't know. They just don't happen to have Twitter or what's
it called. Right. Yeah. I mean, you were... I know we're not making this about anybody, but mashallah, you were doing a lot on the ground, man, from the beginning of
what's
happening.
I like groundwork. I don't like technology. I like to meet people. I like to see them.
You're not doing too bad on the technology either. Mashallah, you're sharing a lot of content for a lot of people.
Clicking a button,
like five posts a day for the past year. Mashallah, don't minimize.
Yeah. Honestly, this is what I mean when like it does kind of... It does get upsetting when you really are trying, and that's what I mean about like Arabs empowering each other. I remember I did this one speech and I went, I don't want to say like what you sacrifice or what you do, it doesn't matter, but you do it because you really feel like it's important. And I did. I gave the speech and like with 8 people, and none of, like most of them weren't even Palestinian or like Arab even.
Yeah.
And then you know someone just pointed out at me. It's like why is she speaking? And it's like pointing out the Arab woman again. And I'm like, you're supposed to be like, you're supposed to be like shaking my hand and be like, tell me what I should do and like, or what I think this is what you ought to do in like a nice, like have a discussion.
Constructive way.
Don't start attacking me as to what I ought to and ought to not do. Who cares about me? Awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do. And then, for example, then ask me to and I always say my platform is everyone's platform now. You want me to collaborate, we collaborate too, and I want to like get like banned and they right. stop it.
Right.
But, you know, I'm being at least tactful about that. Yeah. Connect, like, let's connect each other. You want this person's contact. You want this person to speak. This person ought to, you know.
It's,
when we talk about empowerment, we need to act upon it.
I love the that about our community. We're very, very much so empowering each other.
Yeah, and speaking of that, can I take this time to just, there's something. There's Amir Al-Ghurbawi, and I'll share you guys his Instagram.
Yeah.
He's a parkour player. Amir. I love Amir,
I love
he's
parkour.
Been doing and no, he's been doing amazing work, and he's finally in Cairo.
Okay.
Any other situation, this guy would have gotten picked up in an instant by brands because of his story, also because of his talent and everything, and his struggle, and he's the perfect brand ambassador. But because he's Palestinian, you're not seeing these brands fighting over him.
Wow.
So this is a call out. If you are a brand of ethical value, I don't want to be like this bullying, like condescending or whatever, but you should, you know, reach out to Amir. Have a backbone.
100%.
A sports brand to sponsor a Palestinian parkour player, that'd be something to see. That'd be cool.
Yeah, for sure.
You're talking about connections and collaborations and stuff. We went out last night, right?
Yes.
And you and Greg Stoker were it was an incredible sight to behold. We saw
you guys arguing or something?
We didn't argue.
What happened?
We didn't argue. He thinks I was arguing. I was very calm. I was
very
so
calm.
Nice.
I'm gonna overlay the picture of what you actually look like.
You can edit this if I don't like what he says, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Everything, well, you'll watch it and you'll approve.
No, I'm not. I'm gonna say. I'm gonna let you talk about it.
Well, tell us about
in general,
it.
That's how we do
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So we went to the Rainbow Room after.
He's gonna say I'm gonna watch.
No, I want you.
No.
We went to the Watermelon Pictures.
Go.
Take it.
We went to the Watermelon Pictures event. It was an incredible event. Walled off. Shout out Anwar. Shout out the Watermelon Pictures. And like.
Yeah, shout out Watermelon Pictures. God damn it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
God damn it. So we decided to go out after, right? We went to the Rainbow Room. Mm-hmm. Showed you, you know, the staples of Hollywood.
Staples of the Staples Center.
Right.
Go ahead.
And somehow, like, I walk out, again, abnormalized being, his name is Lars. He's wearing, like, full keffiyeh stuff. So I go in to get a drink, and then I come out, and I see he's...
A drink of water?
Yes. keeping it halal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to talk about that, by the way.
Yeah. And then I come out and I see that he's talking to like two, you know, darker skinned men. I believe one was from Iran and one was from Morocco. And I'm like, oh, how did this happen? And then I start to listen to the conversation and I see that it's definitely
escalating.
A little bit. You know,
two sides of the issue.
He's a Moroccan that labels himself also Israeli.
No, he didn't. You know, he doesn't even have an Israeli passport.
But he said he was Israeli, and he's like, "Cause I," he's like,
"Well, he changed the conversation later on."
Yeah, he definitely got. Yeah. So then Rahma and Greg came as like this, the you know, backup, the support, and I just let them do it, and it was now let's take.
No.
Oh, so it wasn't you and Greg arguing; it was you and Greg against.
Why would me
someone
and Greg argue? No. Me and Greg. Unity. Yeah. Same team.
They're the Avengers of like
pro-Palestinian. We're just saying, no one is an Avenger. No one is anything. No
it looked like it. At one point, it looked like
I think when we were arguing, it kind of.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it is interesting. Bear in mind, I'm with predominantly Arabs. I'm with Arabs. We congratulate each other. We all, and this is why sometimes it is difficult. You feel like you're in an echo chamber. We all believe.
Right.
But when you do travel to somewhere like Los Angeles, when we do travel to New York and what they dub Belly of the Beast, and then you do encounter, I'm like, oh, brainwashing is real. And I told him, you know, this guy, I'm like, you're in Stockholm syndrome, and honestly, if you are going
as a Moroccan,
if you're going to decide that you are Moroccan, ahlan wa sahlan.
Right.
But if you're going to decide you're the occupation, then you need to let go of your Moroccan tea.
Right.
You know, you can't just you chose to be a new whatever this is.
Yeah.
then خلاص right. then let go of the hummus then yeah. let go of the yeah. Moroccan
you
tea
can't let, go,
then
of let hummus. Go of this
then instead of letting go of them they added
they
to the
took
new identity
what they took what they've gotten from mm-hmm. Yemen from Egypt from because these are people from all over the world
it is
very bizarre this collection of individuals from all over the world that are deciding to take on their cultures from where they've come from and call it this no you want to do this you make up something new do you know about what it is
especially if you're going to kill the people that you're associating
yourself
with
you know I'll tell you something really interesting so yeah. I was talking to yeah. one climate activist she's an amazing person I don't want to give her name just for security because she lives in like all sort of things mm-hmm. but she was saying she's like So what they do is they import trees from Europe, okay, so that it looks more like home. Mm. And these trees start attacking the indigenous trees.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're,
literally?
And that, they're parasitic. And that alone, that story alone can yeah. be used
as a metaphor.
As a metaphor to what's happening.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. The trees are, what do they call it when it's a species that's...
Invasive.
They bring invasive species and they start killing the olive trees and other good trees.
No, they burn the olive trees because it's on their land. It's not yours.
Right.
And honestly, to allow these people to do what they're doing, it's dangerous. It's a danger on our whole region. So those who think that it's got nothing to do with them, it has everything mm-hmm. to do with you. And don't listen to the politics right now. I'm talking, look at what's happening on the ground. Look how they're speaking about us. They don't like you as an Arab.
Yeah.
And this is what killed me. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she said that no matter what they do, we are not able to obtain the level of hate that comes to them naturally. Mm. Yani at the end of the day, if there's a baby in my hand, it's a baby.
Right.
To them.
Terrorist.
Terrorist.
whatever
French accent
do you like what is who are you to be able to look at a child who is trying to get food and shoot them how and then how are we debating this
right
yeah but do you understand then, how they got to that point Like, do you understand? Do you understand, this is just a person who was just taught the wrong things, you know?
But it's like, at some point,
they are brainwashed. Menta, if you humanize these people, yeah. You're going to have to admit to your crime. If I see you as a friend, if I see you as a human, I'm going to mm-hmm. be like, oh, I'm so sorry for what I've done to you. Because it's going to dawn on you, the criminal that has
so
happened.
So all you have to do is not see them as human.
So you, all I have to do
and you're good.
Is justify this for me undermining them. Yeah. And again, this is when we talk about the nuances of it all that they don't understand. The ihana part, mm-hmm. just these checkpoints.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the child and you're like, imagine you are a child, okay? And you see your father in a checkpoint going through what they're going through.
Yeah.
And I saw it in the director. She is amazing. She made this short film. Farah Nabulsi,
mm-hmm.
and I was in tears. And I urge everyone to watch the short film. I'll send you its name.
What's it about?
It's basically a day in the life of a Palestinian going through a checkpoint. Mm-hmm. And it's something as simple as him going to buy a fridge. It's his wedding anniversary, and he's coming back with his beautiful daughter. And then what happens throughout their journey is it kills you. It kills you, and it kills you because it's intangible. It kills you that it's not even the brutality. It's this mental warfare that they do, you know? The ihana, the disrespect, the fact that you have this child with a gun that's telling you to wait there. And imagine you're the daughter. And there's so much imagining where you want to put yourself in each one of their situations. The daughter who's watching her father go
be emasculated.
If I saw this happen to my father... I don't know what I do.
Yeah.
I don't know what I do.
I mean, where's the human rights? Where's the dignity? Where's the respect to life?
Where's the equality? But then they do this, and then they have to admit everything. And this is the problem with the colonialist mindset of people here, outside of the occupation even.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If they start seeing Arabs as humans, they're gonna have to admit to it. They're gonna have to admit to what they have done. This long history, and this is what, again, tied into the fact that history takes time. Maybe this is just the unraveling of the 18th century and beyond. You know.
Yeah.
To Atif's point, it's like when you get to that point that you're this desensitized to another human, that you're this attached to an idea that's so destructive, you have to denounce everything you basically hold true.
Yeah,
your entire
exactly.
identity in order to completely be with humanity.
Take a new identity.
And take a new identity of acceptance. And so it means denouncing some of your family because a lot of them have this thought. It means your society. So... it's a difficult thing to do when you're in that position, but what's even more difficult, I think, is to end up in that position in the first place and become so just barbaric in your thinking towards others.
I mean, I like to look at the positives that, you know, that at this point I feel like people are seeing Arabs as, you know, humans. We're like kind of forcing them to, and that's why I think everyone's so worried about all these college kids and all the press. They're, you know, trying to spin what it's really about just so that they don't let people know that what, you know, what's happening and humanize these victims, you know.
And then they just say it's like, at one point there's only so much time you can cry wolf, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Nobody believes it anymore. And you saw it happen, like, you know, obviously.
Yesterday.
Yeah, so when let me I'm going to get to
it was beyond. It was surreal.
So you saw it happen with the reaction on social media, like, obviously, you know, the occupation bombs the embassy in Syria, the Iranian embassy. Nobody bats an eye. And then Iran responds, and then everyone's like, we, you know, condemn this and that because obviously it's Iran doing it and Israel can do
the whole
wrong,
world
right?
rises to its defense too.
They haven't said, no politician has said condemn in their life until that happened, right?
Then, except for Hamas.
Yeah, exactly. And then the same thing happens now in our college campuses.
Yeah.
They're, you know, you have kids, whether they're Jewish, Muslim, whatever. They're
Jewish being dubbed anti-Semitic. That's
literally. Like, yeah. So they're sitting
Germany,
there.
Germany, it's insane.
Yeah. And they're sitting there. And you have a foreign government. You have Netanyahu literally trying to meddle. Like, he's saying that he's literally directing people, like our government, to crack down on
that
our
was
students.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And we're like, how are we gonna let this happen?
Yeah. That's how you know it's making a difference.
He gave us, he had the, and the fact that, never mind that he did that.
Right.
He's
that
shaking.
He thought it was a good idea to do that.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
audacity.
Right. He thinks he can. Yeah, I mean,
and
he
it
can.
Just goes to show the chokehold and he how did. Dangerous so, it is.
State of the Union to
because
another country.
Because it is a pet project in the region gone rogue.
Yeah.
Been rogue since day one. You know? And khalas, you're not going to keep talking about the history and this and this. It's there. It's there. Take 5 seconds of your time. You look it up. You look up the Haganah.
The
you look
part.
This up.
Yeah.
It's once nuts.
It
once you look it up, you're like, oh, well, that's strange.
Right.
And they try, and it was there since day one. The warning was when they said a land without a people, for a people,
without a
land. That sign on its own should have been like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Because there were people.
Right. Right.
And these people were everything.
Right.
And these were the people of Palestine. Mm-hmm. You tell me, oh, the British mandate, oh, the Ottomans. I don't care. Stop.
Yeah.
This was everywhere around the region.
Right. Yeah. It's like
right.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Don't stop it.
Right.
You know, sometimes I swear there was I'm going to massacre the name, Mustafa Barghouti or something, where he just said, shut up.
And then, shut up.
Shut
well,
up.
Can you shut up, please, so I can talk?
shut up your
mouth.
Shut up your mouth, Obama.
And the thing is, at one point, you're like, I heard that interview. I was like, why haven't we just been saying that?
Yeah, literally, that works.
Yesterday, we had that. You're talking and you're arguing. And Greg is giving them statistics. And I'm giving them Sharifi. And he's giving them. And you're saying everything. And then.
They're like.
And then he said, what did he say?
He goes,
he says, oh, yeah. No, he didn't say, do you hate me? He's like, we are. It was like we are threatened. I'm like,
you can see the wheels turning. Like, what are they gonna? What excuse are they?
And I looked at him, and the thing is, and you see the difference when we were talking. It was like a collective. It was like the region. It was. He suddenly made it about him.
His poor little self.
And that's what dawned on me. And I'm like, it's not a, It's not.
What did he say though?
Yeah.
He said like
he was like basically their lives are. No,
he goes. This is what he goes. He's like, he stops the conversation and he goes, "I have one question. Do you want to kill me?"
I don't remember that one, but it was just.
You know what this is?
Do you want to hate me?
You know what this was?
You hate me? He's taught that we all hate him.
This is a fear response. It's an irrational fear response that has been like bred into their hearts that they are that supposed the Arabs to fear are, for their are, lives
are, the
because
are,
we're barbaric, yeah. because we're yeah. not human, because we're capable.
And if we're left on our own accord, and this is what I realize, some of even the Americans believe here,
yeah.
that if we're left on their own accord, the Arabs will come. We don't want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have great weather. Right. I'm just talking about my beautiful scenery.
Yeah, yeah, they're coming for you next.
The Iraqis don't want to come to America.
Right.
We just want you to stop meddling in our affairs.
Right.
So that we can see then how things are going to play. Yeah. I'm dying to know what would have happened if you hadn't, you know, gotten rid of Mossadegh in Iran. Yeah, you know, what would have happened, you know? What would have happened if you hadn't, you know, meddled here? I'm so curious.
Probably wouldn't have had an ISIS.
What would have happened, you know? Their customized democracy is basically them having this tug of war on resources and which one is going to have more power in Arabia. But once you do that, it's like you're creating this hybrid that won't work.
Right.
And it is going to take time if you're going to now be independent and fix all of these. But give us that chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't care.
Right.
It is time that you stop. If we leave them on our own accords, why am I a child?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're just an animal, according to this line of thinking.
Wallahi, you know, and especially this is about the double standard that kills me. You know, they keep throwing and shoving political correctness at you, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't speak like this, and you're barbaric, and but you're the one that's killing children.
Right.
I'd rather you be politically incorrect than bomb me. You know.
100%.
Yeah.
You know, another thing real quick on this idea of when they always come back do you want to destroy Israel or do you want to kill me? Like this fear of being targeted or whatever. It's one, because they have deemed us barbaric and animals, but it's two, it's a guilt.
Yeah.
Like we've done so much wrong to you.
Projecting.
Sorry, I need to keep doing wrong to stop you because it's like when your cousin's beating you up and he has you in a chokehold. You can't let go because once you let go,
then you're gonna.
So you're afraid. Do you want to kill me?
It's also their get out of jail free card. Like when they know they're losing the battle, they'll say that as like their like some.
You
kind
made
of
me kill
wild
the
card.
Kids.
That's what Golda Meir said.
Yeah.
She's like, we will never forgive the Arabs
for making us kill their kids.
Crazy.
The most like.
Crazy
circus thing.
Wow.
It's your fault for getting
it's your fault.
The R word, basically.
Yeah. So again, let's do last topic, and let's talk about why you even have to go. You're headed to UCLA after this, right?
Yes.
Encampment.
You gave a speech to the USC students.
Yes.
Let's talk about the activism. I know Maya's on her way. I wish we could have maybe had some interaction because they're both activists. Let's talk about that real quick.
And if you can touch on what you did on the ground too, briefly.
Okay, well, I'm not an activist. I'm not anything. I'm just doing what I'm doing.
You're not an activist, but you're doing activism.
You're active.
I know.
You're
active. I'm active. I think we're all active.
We're all active.
We appreciate the humility.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm not humble at all. You've seen how I'm not humble.
I'm not humble.
I know my good. I know my bad. I know my ugly.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I accept it. But yeah, it's so important to point out that it's an us. It's a we thing.
No,
and like, let's help
it.
Each other
it.
Out.
Yeah.
Let's
Very
you
important.
Know. It's not you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Of course. What do you mean? Of course, I want to feel like I'm doing good. I love the pat on the back, but I shouldn't. You know, no one should.
Well, you're not doing it for the pat on the back, but it is a nice.
Actually, that is very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, this is what my mother said. Remember when I was telling you about, like, when I got upset about that one comment about someone pinpointing the one Arab who's, like, speaking?
Yeah.
My mom was like, once you start getting upset or thinking about what people are saying, then you're not doing it for the cause anymore, and then you shut up. Mm. And I was like,
that's perfect. Perfect.
Thank you.
Logic,
this is when you step away.
Yeah.
When you start personalizing and getting upset, because it's not about you.
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
are you to get upset?
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
It's not about you. You're just on this road, and you keep on jogging with what also appeases your heart, and what you know is right. And khalas. One of my good friends, and I don't want to say her name, but the siege that happened around the church. And the mother that was killed, because she wanted to go to the bathroom, and then her daughter came to help her, they shot her daughter as well. Okay? It's insane what's happening to the Palestinian Christians. And they're already at the kiddah, yani. Yeah. You cannot do this. Right. You right. cannot.
Yeah, we're so precious.
And they're the oldest. Mm-hmm. These are the ones the you need to take Christians. Care of. They're original. They're us. They're our heart.
Anjid,
you know, how could you?
Those are, yeah, the original.
Because Jesus. I love my Islam so much, it's a we. Mm. It's also for the people in Congo. It's for the people in Sudan. It's for the it's for us. It's an us thing. And I love when I see everyone helping, but it's also the Palestinian Christians who, as soon as this happens, they go, Ya Rab, you know?
Yeah.
And it's also the Muslims who go, you saw the videos. Mm. He just lost his whole entire family. Yeah. And the camaraderie, they hold each other and say, Alhamdulillah. And this is also, even in the smallest things, I remember my mom looks at me, she's like, say, Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Say, Alhamdulillah. Say, Alhamdulillah.
Good or bad.
Yeah. Say alhamdulillah, yeah. but it's even a cultural thing.
Right.
We because worldly things, it's gonna go away.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you're gonna die alone. You're here alone. You're gonna die.
Right.
Have fun. Sure. Do this and be a little bit gluttonous, but be aware.
Yeah.
Life is balanced. Again, be anything and everything and. You know, except so about the activism, so that I'm not deviating. Yeah. I know because you're like looking at me like.
I was about to say like ASAP Ferg said, alhamdulillah.
Why do you do that?
Sorry, I had to say something funny. Like, and then okay, so about the
activism.
She's
about to cry, bro. Had bakia.
Wallah azim.
It's annoying.
He also proceeded to say very vile things a couple lines after that. So I didn't appreciate Ferg bringing God into that song.
Let's we'll take it in a vacuum.
Anyway, so and it happened in the most Arab way possible.
Okay.
So one of my she's like family. She's getting married. Mashallah, mabrook, ya Reem. Anyway, so she takes me to this coffee shop. I think it was Yemeni. We're sitting, we're having, and then you know someone whatever recognized my voice. This girl called Haneen. She goes, oh. I'm in USC. Can you come tomorrow? And I'm like, sure. Like, this is literally how it happened.
Yeah, wow.
I'm Asan thinking, and this was so beautiful. And that's why it's not like, hello, can I please ask you? This is our culture. It's like, oh, you owe it to us. You come speak, you know? And I love that. And I told her, I was like, this is how it is, you know? You need something from me. And then, I love our bluntness
and our
invasion of privacy. It's not like, hello, can I ask you a question? It's like, hey, we're having, yalla, can you come? Yalla. And I can't, no, you come, you know? And it's that sort of, and it happens so naturally. So I'm like, yeah, of course, I'd love to. Am I allowed? Can I? No.
Right.
And also you need to be careful because you don't want to hijack this movement. But it does start with the students, and it's so beautiful when you see that. And you want to tell them, don't use WhatsApp and Instagram to communicate. Use Signal. They might try and divide you because they do that. And this is why you don't put people on a pedestal. They do also do this other thing in protests where they get someone that looks like they're pro-Palestinian, but they instigate violence, they have these weird signs, and they coordinate with the news channels. The news channel snips that one thing.
Yeah.
Like there was this, I don't know, people have different remarks about one actor, American actor, don't even mention his name, doesn't matter, but he got accosted by this one lady, and people, and then it caused, stirred the debate. Mm. But that's the thing. That shouldn't be your debate.
Right.
The debate should be in Palestine about Palestinians, what's happening to them. That's what I'm talking about, deviating. Yeah, and it's like, look at the type of pro-Palestinians that are there. Habibi, it's everyone. You can't say there's one type, and this is why I'm saying different bedfellows. Right. We're all on this road. You're going to get an array of people and different types of Muslims, different type of Christians, different type of Jews, different types of... It's everyone. Yeah. It's everyone who's like... It's literally everyone who's saying... Killing kids is wrong, and so is oppression.
Yeah. Easy.
Well, I can't sign up for that.
Like, so you
that's
gave
too
it,
wild of an idea right there.
You like, gave
killing
it,
kids is bad.
If you guys haven't seen it yet, go watch her speech she gave at USC. It's amazing. You're about to go do something at UCLA.
I don't know. I'm just going to go see them at UCLA.
We should all go.
Let's. So what does divest mean?
Divest, like boycott. Divest means to take your take something away from something else, like move something from one place
like
to another.
The money, usually it's money.
So divestment is huge. It's a major.
Of course. And I mean, look, I'm really bad with money, so I don't understand.
You're an Arab woman. Right? What do you mean?
I don't have like.
Mickey Azrael.
She lost all her bags. She went on a shopping spree. That's what happened.
No, I didn't. No, I did not. I think. I'm like saving as much as possible. So that's the thing. And it goes back to your preliminary point. Mm. You know, it's people and it goes back to your preliminary point. And it's even more with you know, when you do start going, hey, why aren't you talking? Why aren't you speaking? And unfortunately, it's all tied down to the money. These are like some people are the breadwinners. So they're scared to speak up because they know, because now you're losing your job. You're getting deported. It's intimidation on all levels. And that's when you start asking, how much am I willing to sacrifice? Right. And if I can't be vocal about it, there are different forms of being active. Yeah. It doesn't have to be you shouting on social media. There are enough people shouting on social media.
True.
You can be doing things. And this is why it's the stories of the actual heroes that are on ground.
Yeah.
You know, and I say this to people. You're here in Los Angeles, the belly of the beast. I'm with Arabs. They're patting me on the back. I'm not getting the conversations like the one we had yesterday that made my blood boil.
It was incredible to see Motaz at Columbia.
You know what I mean? It's basically you. This is why I also say you don't know the battles that people are going through. You don't. Yeah. You don't know the sacrifices they're doing. You don't know if they're being silent on social media. Maybe they're doing bigger, better work. Maybe they need people who are the ones that are going to help them, you know, facilitate for certain families, for aid work, so they can't be too vocal. They need to be strategic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't be this person who's like, why aren't you? What are you? Who are you?
Right.
You do.
Yeah.
You see what is missing in the scene, what you can offer as an to be active.
Yeah.
Even, and by the way, you are doing something by simply speaking to someone and being, hey, do you know what's happening with this and this and
one
this?
One on one.
That's you doing something. Yeah. You know what? You empowering someone else. You being like, you might lose your job because you're in Canada speaking up, or Germany. Mein Reich, you know. Yeah. If you are in Germany, so you are in Misharifi, I'll offer you a job. Mm. I am an Arab investor. I'm not speaking, but I'm going to invest in Arabs. In tech, tech is crazy. We definitely need more of the narrative to change there. Check what industry you can work with. There are enough people posting on social media.
It's not the end all be all.
You do have stuff for where the money you start, because right now there is a vacuum. There's this open field where you've seen all these people are terrible. They condone genocide. Mm-hmm. So now there's this empty field where all these people that you used to put on a pedestal.
Right.
Like you see this person going, oh my God, they actually think like this. And then you start, you know, wondering.
Yeah.
So because there's this empty field, now is the time to empower people, you know, work for humanity's sake, not for the world stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the second half of boycotting is to, okay, we're boycotting these companies. Let's empower companies.
Exactly. Because you can't just dismantle.
Right.
You can't just break things down. Yeah. You also need to offer solutions. 100%. And like my family always says this, think of the solution and then the problem. Mm. So be like, okay, we're going to dismantle this, but you do need to give people a thing. You can't just tell them social media, metaverse is horrible, horrible. People like it. It gives them the recognition, the pats on the back. Right. So give them something else.
Yeah.
So start empowering in the way you know how, in the field that you're in, in whatever way you also feel comfortable in.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bog yourself down. Life's tough anyway.
Right. 100%.
Alhamdulillah, you know.
Alhamdulillah, akul shay.
Okay, Allah.
Alhamdulillah for having you, Kamal. We're grateful.
Alhamdulillah for having me. One more question. Yeah, I've been talking. Khalas. Yalla, wrap it up.
Yalla.
Rahma.
Zain.
Zain.
Thank you.
Zain.
Tamili.
Salam. Benay barak lukum.
Thank you for coming.
Yalla.
Habibi House, out.